feel like saluting you tonight when you come up here.
Excuse me. When Pastor Marty asked me to speak, it was quite a while ago, I put together a real good sermon. I spent weeks on it. I wrote it out, and I was, praise God, I could, this is a barn burner, and I can turn flips, and people would hold up a solid 10. And then I was teaching on another subject, and the more I taught on it, the more I realized I was going in the wrong direction. And so that was another lot of writing and working and studying. But thank God, I think I got the mind of the Lord. And also I'd like to say those that sent cards, and thank you so much. Remember my birthday. I do appreciate it. Now if you'll unite your heart with prayer to me. Lord, thank you so much. I ask you tonight to unveil the Word of God, make it real to our hearts, Lord, that we might prosper for being in the house of the Lord together. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now, I want to speak tonight a little bit. I got to get this down. I want to speak tonight a little bit how to be led of the Spirit. You know, if we can learn to be led of the Holy Spirit, we're going to live a much happier, a much more prosperous life. And it's going to be an easier life, too. And also, I want to talk a little bit about the three parts of a man or a woman, the spirit, the soul, and the body. You know, the spirit and the soul are not the same thing. The Bible differentiates between them very, 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 very much. Now, if you'll turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 14th and 16th verse, Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this: for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or daughters of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then looking in the Old Testament into Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and the 27th verse, the Bible said, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, if we'd quote that today, we might say the Spirit of the Lord is a light bulb of man, because we don't use candles anymore. Many times we Christians, try to receive guidance other than how the Bible says we should receive it. Now, for example, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will guide us through our souls. Now, people sometimes use the word spirit and soul interchangeably, but you know what? They're not. And if they're not interchangeably, and people don't understand, then you can get terribly, hopelessly confused. Now, from the Word of God, that the word differentiates between the soul and the spirit. It doesn't refer to the same thing because the Bible differentiates between them. It says, now, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Now, you could be correct when you said three souls got saved last night, but you'd be just as correct saying three people got born again. It's literally the same thing, but you're saying it in a different way. Now, Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul also made a distinction between the three parts of a man's being. I pray God your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, okay, here we go. We're going to break this down a little bit. Actually, the Word of God teaches that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and the spirit which has a soul lives in the body. You're a triune, we are a triune being like God Almighty. And because we have a spirit that comes from the Most High God. He takes a part of us when we're conceived. He takes a part of Him when we are conceived and puts His spirit in us. So our spirit can never die. Anybody that tells you that when you die, you'll die like a dog, they are hopelessly confused. You are a spirit being with some of the life of God Almighty flowing through you. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Actually, the Word of God teaches that. Okay. Now, if you're born again, all right, and everybody here, I'm pretty sure, is born again. We're teaching to the Thursday night, you preach to the saints. Sometimes pastors have said they preach to the saints. I don't know what that meant, but Thursday night is the people that love Jesus that come to wait and feed on the Word. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is abiding in your spirit. Now, Jesus is God's gift to the world. Jesus, His death, burial, resurrection, His ability to save people from going to hell is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Now, the Bible says, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Now, remember here, Jesus is going back to heaven, and the 12 disciples are going to lose their close friend, their counselor, their Lord. But He says, hang on, I'm going to leave you with this promise. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. Now, first point, all right, point number one. Since God dwells in you, in your heart or spirit. Now, anytime the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about your spirit. It's talking about the spirit man or the spirit woman. Since God dwells in your spirit, that is where He's going to speak to you. He does not communicate directly with your mind because He's not in your mind. He's in your spirit. Proverbs 20:27, the margin reads, the spirit of man is the lamp of God. That means God will enlighten you or guide you through your spirit. Now, I'm going to explain what the soul is. We talked about the spirit, and we talked about the body. We know what the spirit is, and we've located the body. When I saw my wife years ago, I fell in love with her. I said, oh, we got so much in common, you girl, me boy. You're so wonderful, you know. And that's relocate the body very easily. Now, let's locate your mind. Don't laugh. We've all went through it, and so have I. And I'm still going through it, too. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, with a spirit being a spirit being, you contact the spiritual realm, God the Father, with your spirit. Now, the soul is a mental, emotional, passionate, logical, reasoning facility, your intellect, your mind. You are a spirit. You have a soul. The spirit which has a soul is in the body. God does not contact you through the body. He does not contact you through the mind. He contacts you through your spirit. It's our spirit that becomes a new creation when you're born again. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is my favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away in his spirit, and behold, all things are new. Now, when you got born again, you had the same body. My chest has slipped a little bit, but I got the same body. And you have the same mind. Now, the mind is the soul of you. Now, the Bible says that your soul has to be renewed with the Word of God. Why? What do you get every day when you turn on the television? Well, we're going to have an ice age. Well, now we're not going to have an ice age. Now we're going to have a. Now we're all going to have a heat age, and we're all going to die of heat. Oh, now we're all going to starve, and now we're all going to be hit with a missile, and now we're going to jump up in the air and fly away. You know, the whole thing is just garbage, garbage, garbage. Satan is the god of this world. Jesus said he is. In 2 Corinthians, he's the god of this world. He feeds through, he deals through the natural, he deals through the news, and he puts this junk into us day after day after day after day, and you need the Word of God, and I need the Word of God to flush it out, because it's garbage. And people will say to me, they haven't, but if I'm ready for this, I got this ready, when they say to you, well, smarty, what are you going to do if a missile comes in and blows you all to pieces? I'm going to go to be with Jesus. What are you going to do? If I live, I go to be with Jesus. If I die, I go to be with Jesus. I can't lose. Amen? Now, we're not just born again, but we're a new creation. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. If I hear any of you say that, I will walk up and scream in your ear until you faint. Because it's wrong. Why? I just read 2 Corinthians. If any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creature. We had a woman in the old church. She used to get up, and she used to testify, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Boy, was she right. She was monkeying around with another man on the side, and he wasn't her husband. So, yeah, she was an old sinner. I don't know how much she was saved, because she was saved, she would have stopped doing what she was doing. I'm not going to mention the dear sister's name. I'd like to, but I'm not going to. Because I don't like, well, I do like gossip. That's one thing I have to keep under the blood of Jesus. Now, here's a biggie. This is a real biggie. When we're born again, we still have the same body as before, right? The outward man doesn't change. But the spirit man on the inside has become a new creature in Christ. A spirit woman has become a new creature. And because God guides us through our spirit, it's important to let that inner man or inner woman dominate your life. When he said, old things are passed away, a lot of people used to get drunk, go out there, and we used to say, hang a big one on and come in. Sin, cuss, drink, smoke, didn't matter. But all of a sudden, when you got Jesus in your heart, boom, a red light went up. Oh, that's not right. Who told you it was not right? Probably nobody preached to you about it being wrong, but that inward witness in your spirit put up a guide and said, stop. Now, you know, when we're new in Christ, the only way he can really guide us good is through his spirit. That's the primary way. Now, how does God guide us? Romans 8, 14 and 6 tells us we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. All right, we know that. We know he bears witness with our spirit. The number one, now this is the number one way God guides all his children, is by an inward witness. This is the most important. It's the number one way. Now, let's get a little technical on this business of an inward witness. Suppose you pray about going in a certain direction in your life, and you just don't feel right about it. You get a check, or this isn't right. Something's wrong. Or to say it another way, on the inside of you, there's something to tell you, no, stop. And you get it in your spirit. You just don't feel good about the direction you're going in. I had that happen to me. They threw a... when I was in the military, I was a full-timer, and they said, we want you to go up to battalion. We want you to take a better job, and, it's good. And I started thinking, and I prayed about it, and I couldn't get a go on the matter. So when you can't get a go on a matter, and you're worried about it, stop. Just wait on the Lord. And I stopped. And right after that, my battalion folded, and I would have ended up in working in Syracuse and coming home and seeing Linda on weekends. See how the Holy Spirit deals with you? How he helps you? Every Christian ought to have that. not an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Every Christian, because if we're saved, we're men and women of God, then we're led by His Spirit. Now, no matter how good circumstances may look on the outside, if you get a stop, then don't do it. There was a man of God. He was I won't mention his name, but he was a prophet, and he was a teacher. And he was going in the wrong direction in his ministry. Now this is, and as he was preaching, he was up on one night. He was out what we call field ministry. Okay, you go from church to church to church preaching, and he slipped on a cord. And as he went down, he landed on his shoulder. He didn't break it, but he ripped the tendons and the ligaments. And the doctor told him, he said, Reverend, he said, it would have been better if you'd have broken your arm. It had been much better. And so he's in the taxi going into the hospital, sitting in the hospital. He really wasn't even sick then. He said, I'm praising the Lord. And I'm thanking Jesus for his healing. I'm thanking him for his mercy. I'm thanking him that I'm going to get better. And he said, all of a sudden, the door opens. And he said, I'm looking, and there's the nurse's white dress walking in the door. But this nurse had sandals on. And he looked up, and it was a open vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the hair on the back of my neck went up straight. Because in an open vision, your senses are not suspended. And he walks in and says, Brother Marty, I want to talk to you. Or Brother Chuck, I want to talk to you. And that's when you feel like you want to be in another room. But he said he walked over, folded his hands, and said to me, you are angry at me that I let the devil cause this. But he said, you ought to be thank me. He said, because the direction you were going in, you were so far out of my will, you wouldn't have lived to be 50 years old. Boy, that's an eye-opener. He said he sat and talked to me an hour and a half about my ministry. Then he got around to being led of the Holy Spirit by an inward witness. He said, now you see me sitting here talking to you. You have had two offers of a church to go to, a big one and a small one. He said, I am here to tell you tonight, do not go to the big one. He said, three times you tried to write a letter to accept it, and you crunched it up and threw it in a waste paper basket. You did that three times. One time, he said, you tried to call, and he said you heard the other pastor say hello, and you put the phone down because you just could not feel right. He says, I'm telling you now, don't go to that big church. That's the wrong church to go to. I want you to go to that small one. Well, when you're out on the field, you got to live. I mean, that's just the facts of life, and you have to live from your offerings. Well, when he finished out, he said, "I got a bigger offering, and I did a whole big work in that small church." But he said, the Lord told him, he said, now you see me physically talking to you. I am telling you not to go to the big church. I will never lead you this way again. I'm going to lead you like I lead all my children, by an inward witness. And that inward witness, I'm telling you, is the main way. Now, make that inward witness better? How do we refine it? Like somebody would refine a violinist, you know, practice, practice, practice. He told him, he said, you're going to have to learn to wait. He said, there's no instant. You know, we want everything instant today. I want everything instant. When I was on the farm, we used to heat up a pot of water, make tea, and you know, it would take, I don't know, what, 10, 15 minutes. And now, if I'm making a cup of coffee, and it's two, if it's 2 seconds on there, I want that coffee. I want it instant. We want instant Christians. But there's some things that is not going to come instant. It's going to come waiting before the Lord. It's going to come being in the Word of the Lord. It's going to come on your knees. And here's the second thing. You've got to walk in love. You've got to walk in love. You know, I told the class tonight, we were dealing on this, but this is a funny one. The Southern, I'm not against the ladies, but the Southern ladies have a way of doing things down south. And they'll say things like, Sister Jones's sister's daughter is such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Bless her heart. Too bad she's a kleptomaniac. Bless her heart. You know, and that's putting the old knife in. But we have, and it's fun to do that. Listen, if it wasn't fun, people wouldn't do it. Let's be honest, okay? But we have to live above that. We have to live, we have to look at, the Bible says you're being, and I'm being, and we're all being conformed into the image of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means, boys and girls, we're not perfect. But it means that God has got his hand on us, and we that reach out to the Lord, and we that try to be like Jesus, and we that read the Word, and we that spend time praying, we get like Jesus, a little at a time. And sometimes, you know, when I think I've made it, I think, boy, have I got spiritual. Praise the Lord, I've made it. Hallelujah, I'm here. And something will happen, and it'll knock my head right where my feet was. And I realize I haven't made it yet. And I have to go all the way back and say, Lord, I sinned, I missed it, please forgive me. Now, here's something else. When you mess up, and we all sin a little bit somehow, we try not to, and that's why we're Christians, because we're following Jesus. We're following him. But if we miss it, run right to him immediately. Lord, I missed it, I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me, and really be sorry that you've hurt him. I wouldn't want to crucify Jesus again on the cross by my sinning. Could you do that? I don't know, but I don't want to do it, even if you could. Now, there's another way that the Holy Spirit can lead you. He leads you, there's three ways, three primary ways he leads you. The primary is by an inward witness. The second is by an inward voice. Did you know your spirit has an inward voice? Hang on, it's true. I was so sick one time that I'm laying there and I'm praying in tongues and I'm confessing the word and I'm praying and I'm getting no place fast. And so finally I said to the Lord, what am I doing wrong? And from the inside of me, I heard this little voice said, you haven't made the word of God the final authority on your condition. So you know what? I stayed sick. Yeah, I had to let my body heal through natural science. Has God ever healed me? Yeah, you see, I've had miracles done in my body. Had miracles. Now, there's another way, a more authoritative way that God, now there's three big ways. The 99% one is by an inward witness. Then there's an inward voice. And then there's a more authoritative voice that you turn around and say, who said that? And I tell a story about, it was Guy that, remember when we had that Samaritan's purse? And we had the boxes, the shoe boxes we filled. And I think Guy was down here with, Linda was down helping. And he had his scanner. Well, Linda called me. She said, Guy has just heard in a scanner that your neighbor, Mr. 40, they're taking him out. And they're taking him out to the hospital on a stretcher. So I went over to see Mrs. 40. And I said, is there anything I can do? Now, the good Catholic family. She said, you can go home and pray. Praise God, that's pretty good. We prayed for Mrs. 40 one time, and the Lord healed her. Right, immediately. Now, getting back, Mr. 40 is on the gurney, in the ambulance, he's going to the hospital. So I went home, and I'm all alone in the house. And I wasn't even praying like, dear Lord Jesus, Your word says that you'll heal Mr. 40. Have mercy on Mr. 40. Lord, in Matthew 8:17 says himself bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. Mark 11:23 and 24 says, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you shall receive and you'll have him. And I believe he's going to be. I didn't do any of that. I just leaned over against the counter like this. And I said, Lord, there are 290 million Americans in this country. What do you care if that old man lives? Why don't you just let him live? I mean, Merry Christmas, your husband's dead. They've been married 50 years. I said, Lord, can he live? I was exasperated like that because I wanted the old gentleman to live because he was a nice old man. And all of a sudden, that quiet house, I heard a human voice say behind me, okay, I will. I turned around and there was nobody there. Can the Lord speak to you like that? Yeah, he can speak to you like that. He's the Lord God. You don't have to call Springfield, Illinois, and ask the Baptists or ask the Pentecostals. He doesn't have to ask the Holy Gatherers. He didn't have to ask anybody. He's God. He can do what he wants to. He is the Lord. And sometimes he will do things like that just because he's the Lord. But the main way you're going to receive guidance, they that are called the sons and daughters of the Lord are led by the Spirit of the Lord, and it'll be led by an inward witness. I have heard stories where an angel has brought men an answer to prayer. I have heard stories about a man preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden his face went white and he looked at a man and said, the Lord told me, you walk out of this building and this is your last chance for salvation. You walk out and you go to spend eternity in hell. And I'll tell you, when that happens, that quiets an audience down real fast, real quick. And I remember Brother Kenneth Hagin said one time, when he was a pastor, he pastored 12 years, he said, I was preaching a salvation message, and I said to one of the men in the back, I said, the Lord tells me, if you don't accept Jesus tonight, you're going to die, and you're going to a sinner's hell. Buddy, you got one foot in hell and the other in a banana peeling. And that guy got over, he lived right across the street from him. And he got out and he was in there, ho, 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 that preacher thought he scared me. He didn't scare me. And then lightning hit him and killed him. See, things can happen like that. But when the gospel is preached to sinners, the Holy Spirit tugs on a man's or woman's heart. And that's a witness. You need Christ, buddy. You need Jesus. I took a little time and studied how bad hell was. And let me tell you something. It's worse than I ever thought it was. The Lord allowed some men to die and go and see it. And then he, because he's God, he pulled them out. I don't know why. Called them to preach. Could you expect that? It's appointed unto one man or woman once to die and then the judgment. That's why our Holy Spirit is a counselor, he's a helper, he's a friend, he's a standby, and he'll help you if you let him, if you'll seek him when he may be found, and grow in grace and seek the Lord, you're going to hear his voice a lot quicker. Well, now, we're out of time, and I don't know if you enjoyed this, but I enjoyed it. 5 minutes? Okay. The Apostle Paul, if you want an example in the New Testament of the Apostle Paul getting he didn't get a word of knowledge. He didn't say the Spirit of God said anything to him. He didn't say anything else. But in 27 chapter of Acts, verse 9 and 10, Paul, when he was about to go on a big, he was in chains then, he was going on to to Rome, before the court, before Caesar's court. It said, now when much time was spent and sailing was now exchanged dangerous, because the fast that they had was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much danger, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now, that wasn't a word of knowledge. It sounded like it, but it wasn't. You know, there's a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. It's one of the two of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It can tell you things. It'll tell people what's going to happen. But this wasn't. This is what every single Christian born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and called to serve him should have. All of us should have it. Now, Paul said every Christian ought to have a certain amount of this kind of spiritual perception. And he said that I'm not talking about a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, you know, we'll go over word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. But I recognize the inward witness or perception of the Holy Spirit and my spirit. Even sinners can tell you I had a hunch that this was going to happen. Because they're a spirit being too. Even though they're not saved, they're a spirit being. But when you're saved and you're filled with the Spirit and you seek Jesus, and you seek him not only as a Lord but as a friend, and you want to hang around him and you study his word, what's going to happen? You're going to get more like him. And you're going to hear him better. Okay? There was a... it's 8 o'clock and we're out of time. Okay. There was my father, years ago, used to work at the GLF. And he was coming. It was New Year's Day. I guess he got off early. And, of course, a lot of times in New Year's, I don't know if they allow them to do it now, but a lot of the guys sneak a bottle in at work. And sometimes when guys are done with work, believe me, they are all fired up. Now, Main Street, you know how Main Street in Batavia works. And I think it was on Court Street. And my dad was about to come back from work, and he was about to turn onto Main Street. And something said to him, stop. Right where you are. Don't go any farther. Stay where you are. And my father said it was very strong in his spirit. And he waited. And just as he waited, here come a guy that was drunk as the Lord, come and passed him and smashed into another car. I don't know if they got killed or not. But because my father was on the driver's side, it would have probably killed him. And you see how good the Lord is? Now, my father loved Jesus, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a Bible teacher or anything. He wasn't terrible. He was a good, solid old Christian. He loved Jesus. But everybody, he had that same witness as you had. And you know how many times we don't follow that? How many times haven't you followed that? I can tell you of a simple thing. I was monkeying around downstairs with my hobbies, and I went to get a tool. And I heard inside me all of a sudden, you're going to need another tool. Nah, I'm working on this. I won't need another tool. I went back. What happened? I had to go back and get another tool. The Lord is interested even in the small things you do. You're his child. He loves you. And you know, some people have talked about the Lord, and even Christians, and he is so distant from it. He's not distant from you. He's right here. He's right here in your heart, right here in your spirit. And the more you seek him, I'm going to say this again, the more you seek him and the more you pray and the more you wait on him. What is waiting on him? Well, sometimes you have to get down on your knees, and sometimes you have to pray an area through. And you can't, I know we're instant Christians, but sometimes you have to wait and pray till you get an answer, yes or no in your spirit. Sometimes young men going into the ministry, have had to wait on the Lord. One person said, surely, Lord, you wouldn't want a person such as me in your work. Surely, Jesus, you wouldn't want. Now, this pastor, she was at the altar. Now, she already knew that God had called her. And he come to put his hands on her. We used to have the Sunday night service. And he put his hands on this her to say, well, bless Sister Ruth and God bless her. And all of a sudden, it come out of his mouth. And this come out of his mouth. This afternoon, you is in the root cellar seeking me and praying about your future. And you ask for a confirmation. I'm going to give you, and this is a confirmation that what you prayed for is going to come to pass. Sometimes the Lord will give you a freebie like that. Sometimes you get a freebie. Most of the time, the Bible said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And let me tell you something, that sight walking is like going over Niagara Falls on a tightrope in the wintertime, and the wind is blowing, and the Lord said, just here, take a step. You'll be going, are you kidding? Are you kidding, Lord? But sometimes that's what he'll ask us to do. But let me tell you something. If he loves you, he won't put you in a position where he's going to kill you. Remember, you're his child. I'm his child. We're his child. You're his servant. And that's a wonderful thing. It's both a wonderful thing to be a servant of the Lord and a very hard thing to be a servant of the Lord. It's wonderful. But you pay a price, as you well know. I got this to support your pastor week, okay? All right, praise the Lord. Will you stand with me and we'll be dismissed? Do you have anything, Pastor? All right. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithful servants that come out to hear the word tonight. It's a rainy night, it's a cold night, it's a wet night, and they could be home drinking cocoa and watching television. They chose, like Martha, the better things. And the things of God are so good. The word is so good. It is so true. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for it. I thank you for it, Lord. Bless the people. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, thank you.
Then he'll move on to another subject. Yeah. do half of it. I told you you would. He just had everything there, so he had nothing. It's so hard to do. Yes. I'm going to get this up to him. Thanks for staying, Mary. To Molly's house and leaving from there, and that's his parent.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, so it's what we usually do is, and from there we're going to go to Dansville for breakfast.
Right, right. Because we've got to get on the 390 anyway.
So maybe if we met at the Dansville.
Okay. Okay. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. All right, we can meet you at like Dansville. Yeah, yeah. Because it's just me and Carol. I lost. I can't find anybody for the third ticket. So.
You didn't tell me.